Hey, thanks for tuning in to Cocktails and Conversation. I'm drinking me a glass of wine, and I have Autumn here with me.
Hello.
What are you drinking on, Autumn?
I'm actually not drinking on anything. I had a Sprite.
Okay. Well, that's what's up. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Yes.
No. I'm very thirsty. So today we're going to be talking about being moms of Black sons in the current state of the world we're living in right now.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts on that topic?
Well, for one, let me start off with saying I can't really say the world because different parts of the world are different. So let me just say Texas. For me, I know, you know, times have changed from when I grew up to now, so everything is kind of different, especially like with all the technology and everything that they're exposed to. But as far as being a mom in this millennial, I feel like it's possibly harder because I have to keep him away from certain things. Even though he's young, like, I don't want to expose him to too much, like the TV, you know. I like to turn it off sometimes so he don't be like a zombie to the TV or like internet. So I'm kind of trying to just keep him on track to be like a normal kid.
Yeah.
But as far as being a Black kid, you know, I don't want him to also get used to seeing like, you know, certain treatment, you know, or like even get to know racism in any type of way or shape or form. But it's out there, and I kind of feel like it's going to be out there for a while. So.
Yeah, racism isn't dead.
Yeah, no.
As being a mother to a mom myself, and the recent occurrence of all these Black men getting killed and all the protests and the violence that's going on right now, it has me worried because I don't want my son, no matter, he might be a clean cut guy, have a good education, come from a good home and everything, and to certain people's eyes, he's going to always be labeled as a thug and miscreant, somebody that's up to no good. Gonna be in somebody's eyes, he's going to be a nigga. Period,
right.
Point blank. And yeah. So you can raise, I feel like I can raise my son as good as I can be, can raise my son. But it's always going to be that person that just hates him.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if he's well-mannered, doesn't matter if he has great education, come from a great home. They don't care about his skin and just automatically make the determination that he's a thug. He's up to no good. He's going
to
lie.
And we have... I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have, you know, boys, and it's very different because they have to be masculine in their own lives, especially when they grow up. They have to do, you know, grow up to be young men, and it's kind of scary because we know how, America treats, you know, Black men in the society.
Right.
And it is scary.
Yeah, like in the Tuskegee experiment years ago, they gave Black men syphilis as an experiment to see how it would go against the Black man in a Black family. And
that's
so
crazy.
Yeah, and so it's just like we've always had this type of treatment, and some people say I don't see racism, I don't see color, but there's color. You look outside, you see green, you see blue, you see brown, you see every color in the rainbow when you open your eyes and look outside.
I think they choose a demographic, like, or saying like, okay, a white man is more prosperous and developing my business or helping me out because he's white, and a Black man is more into succeeding to fail.
Yeah, and then you know what? And it's sad to say that in our society and our community, there still is colorism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people be like, "Oh, he's Black, a Black monkey." You know, and it's coming from your own community, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and then like also they might say, you know, Black man has more qualifications and. But he's only hired on for the diversity aspect.
Yeah, to meet the
qualities. Yeah.
Yeah, to meet the EEO standards.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a bottom line job where he has a degree in something that the CEO probably don't have a degree in.
But you know what? I like to look at all aspects of it, just not as like racism, because I'm not going to say like, okay, yeah, there's racism in the world. But in my mind, I try to look at it as, okay, let's just be realists here. Like, of course, there's racist people in this, you know, world that we live in. But also, it's just like we have to, I'm not going to say fault ourselves, but we also fall short in this aspect of, you know, giving in to what people are making us out to be. I mean, if we want to be better, we got to do better as a community. and as a people, because honestly, to be totally honest, growing up in a family where, like, you know, not all everything is given to us, like, you know, a white person per se, but it's just like we have to stand up and, you know, do our own. But also it's like we don't have the same opportunities, but we have to fight harder.
Yeah, we have to.
That's what it is.
We have to work even harder, 10 times harder than the next person, to make sure that, you know, you really believe that I can do this job.
Yeah, I mean,
really,
that's why we give up. That's why the black men or our black community gives up. And like, by us giving up, it's not giving us a fight.
Yeah, it's not giving up the fight. It's just saying, you know what? I'm doing all the things right. I'm doing all of this right, but I just can't catch a break.
That's where poverty steps in.
Yeah. And some people are okay with taking from the government, but that's, you know, that's something I'm not going to do. I'm not going to sit here and live off of it and be like, fine with it. No.
Okay. That part. There's one thing saying you're living off the government. There's another thing saying that you're using that government aspect because they're giving it to you. So, like, me per se, like, I'm not living off of it because I'm thank God that I know to have a job and work. But also, yeah, it's like, I'm going to take it because it's given to me because I need it. And that's just because of the qualities of my lifestyle. Like, you know, I'm not in college right now. You know, it's certain things that I haven't done yet because I'm a single mom and I'm a young black mother. It's just certain things I haven't had the qualities to do yet because I'm doing everything on my own. But also, it's like, one day I will do those things, but I have to do one thing at a time. Everything
right
me is going to take a little bit extra time.
Now, I wasn't saying that living off the government while you're trying to better yourself isn't okay, because I feel like if you're going to utilize assistance given to you, utilize it in a positive way.
Right.
You know, don't utilize and be like, fine with it. Like, I'm not going to expire, do anything.
Yeah, do anything else.
I'm just going to sit here and I don't know what I'm going to do when my child turns 18 type situation. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be having assistance, you need to assist yourself as well.
Well, while, like, you got it.
Yeah, while you got it, because it doesn't last forever. Mm-hmm. You got to want to do better. You don't want these people in your life forever. You want to be able to say, I can buy this, buy that whenever I want to buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to sit here and wait. Well, I got to wait till this little check clear. You know, but no, like, you want to be able to say, okay, I got this accomplished. I got that accomplished. I did this. I did that.
Yeah, and then now, I give myself a time frame, because as long as you have goals, you can achieve anything you want to do.
Yeah. And so it's certain people that I was talking about was saying that I'm talking about saying, like, they're okay with that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They're okay with just sitting there and saying, well, you know what? I got 18 years for free. No, that's what you're going to do when all these kids get older is get out your household, and you got to make it for real. You're going to be 50, 60 something years old trying to get out here in the workforce and don't have no skills, don't have no education.
Right.
You're going to be looking crazy.
But that's also a topic in itself, because, as you know, like, you know, the baby boomers and the next millennium, you know, it's like times change. Like, when the economy goes through something, it makes people more yearn to save their money or, like, do better for themselves, because, like, just say now the pandemic, I'm pretty sure a lot of people my age just started, like, you know, wanting to go to school, wanted to better themselves and save their money in their pocket, because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And that's how I know that, you know, things are changing, because people my age are starting to do it when they didn't do it before. So it's kind of going back to, you know, when our great-grandparents were like, you know, listen to, oh, going to buy all this hot dog stuff because something happened in their economy in that time.
Yeah.
So everything changes in time, but it's just like, once everybody starts understanding that, and as black parents and as black people, once they start understanding that, we'd be a whole lot better as an economy and as a people.
But you know what? And this is just not being a black mother, black, you know, being a person of, you know, black heritage. It is just saying that with time, I've seen us as a community go from being so self-sufficient to not being self-sufficient at all, to where we have to go out and buy hair and, you know, extensions and stuff from mostly Middle Easterns or Asians, and I'm not being racist or anything like that. We go get our nails done by mostly Asians. We buy our clothes from big department stores, really not too many small boutique, you know, black-owned businesses. We used to be a self-sufficient community as a black community. We used to have our own grocery stores. We used to have our own hair shops and stuff like that. There's still like beauty shops and stuff like that, but you gotta go buy your hair products from someone that's probably not a minority.
Okay, now I have a question. So, who do you bank with?
I bank with. I'm thinking of my bank, Southside Bank. But I've tried to look up some black owned banks.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's my topic.
Right in now. Texas, and we don't have any.
But that's what I'm saying. Okay,
as far as I can see,
you look okay. Would you feel safe putting all your income, like knowing that all your money is in that bank? Once you go through all the, you know, qualifications and what they stand for and everything, would you feel safe or just comfortable putting all your, you know, savings in your life, you know, line in their bank account?
Any bank that I bank with has to be federally insured. I don't care if it's black, white, Asian, Mexican, okay, whatever.
That's my point. I don't want to sound racist, but I think it's just because of how I grew up and what I know. And I think it may be the racism, you know, speaking to me, but for some things I just don't wrong with black people.
Yeah,
you just some things I don't like. I would, and not like saying trust wise, like, oh, I trust you with everything I have, but it's just like I would feel more comfortable, not saying that they wouldn't screw me over, but my first thought would be like, this white guy, you know what I'm saying, he's gonna, everything's probably halfway legit, you know, with these black companies. You really don't know. To me, sometimes it
that's why you research. You do a lot of research on anything you invest in your money, your hard-earned funds into. Any type of business that you encounter or get into dealings with, you want to make sure you got all the information on the company.
I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, your first idea when it pops into your head, it's like, even like when you see a commercial, they're going to give you the best thing they can show you for you to like grab your attention or your, you know.
And it's up to you to follow up with that research to make sure that's a good investment for yourself.
If you follow up with it or not, like, you know, it's just like quality and experience. You go somewhere where the quality is good, but the experience is not that good.
But you know what? As far as a black bank, thank you. You don't have any experience with a black bank down here.
Does anyone, really?
But I'm just saying, never experienced it.
Cards that, what's his name was doing?
Them were prepaid cards, yeah. But that wasn't actually a bank.
But he, like, actually, there are a lot of, you know, black people starting their own business, especially online. You can make money online like it's nothing right now. Like, these people, they didn't know, I'm like, you know, maybe it's not like a business. They don't have like marketing and franchises, but they have like their own little, you know, CEO.
Yeah, now I'm just saying, from like before the pandemic, after civil rights, things slowly dwindled down in the black community as far as like grocery stores, black banking.
Right.
Black hair shops,
franchises.
Yeah, black things. It's still around, but it's not as many as it was once was. Is what I was saying, and I feel like we need to give back to our communities to learn our brothers, learn our sisters, and to be able to put down those stereotypical racisms we have for our own
color. Do you really think America will let us do that?
Well, it's up to us. We have freedom of thought. We barely have freedom
to walk on the street. What do you think? We have freedom of thought.
We have freedom of thought. You can stand with whoever you want to stand with. But my thing is, I need to unlearn, because we grew up, both of us grew up in a community that was majority Caucasian.
Right.
Point blank, period. So we were trained to feel like that race was superior.
Yeah,
superior. And it was normal. And we were to be second class citizens.
And abide by the rules
and abide by their set of standards of living. But now, as an adult, an experience in life for myself, seeing how people are, see how things are actually done, I have the freedom to say, no, I don't think that's okay. No, I'm going to learn my brothers and my sisters, and I'm going to learn which ones are of standard to business dwellings. Now, everybody in every race, is they have some low down people in every race. Don't get me wrong, you know, but the media likes to sensationalize our people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what puts in our brains and programs our people's brains that we're up to no good at all times, basically.
Right.
You know, so I'm going against the grain, going against everything that was programmed into me.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, you know what, I'm gonna give my people a shot, because if it ain't me, who else? If you can't give your own race a shot,
Who else gonna, you know, who else gonna
do it? I have a question for you. So you said that our community has to come together as a whole and give our free of thought. What do you mean by that? Like, you mean like
we need to come together as a whole because there's a lot of people, like I said earlier, we still have colorism in our own community. And, you know, I'm not a saint. I was in that for a while. I felt like, you know, oh, okay, black as hell, you know, but that was just socialism, young age bullshit.
Everyone knows.
Yeah. And so now you see that it's just, it hurts. What
do you actually think we can do? Like, besides like free of thought, like I get
freedom of thought.
Freedom of thought. Actions?
Coming together as a community, you're going to create a fist. Okay. That fist is going to be unstoppable. That's why that fist is there. You can't stop us. It's going to be unstoppable. As long as that whole hand comes together, we can run. We can take over our communities and buy our communities back, bring back our grocery stores, bring back our businesses to where we don't have to be online and do this and do that. We can have a storefront. We can be like everybody else. We don't have to.
Only reason why we're not succeeding as a black community is because of racism.
And it's not because of racism, because racism is a part of it, because some people are afraid to actually get up and do the things they need to do as far as being a community, person in the community, you know, actually saying what's on their mind. But we also need to come together as a community, because our community is broken. Because like you said earlier, you really don't trust if you put your money in that type of bank. You don't, you know, it's just because people feel like, you know, we've been programmed to feel like, okay, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. We always second guess our people, ask for discounts from our people. But we'll go pay such and such dollars at the hair store, or, you know, such and such dollars to the nail lady and such. But we always second guess our people and their qualifications and their, you know, they can, and we do that within ourselves too.
Right.
So until we unlearn and unprogram ourselves from that thought mind frame, it's going to be the same way. Because we have to start accepting our people and letting them show us what they actually can do instead of second guessing them too, you know, because we second guess our own race too.
Yeah. And like, it's not only about the racism, because it is systematic abuse as well.
Yeah.
You know, it has a lot to do with it, especially
when slavery ended, they created them laws. The Bill of Rights, the Bill of Rights and stuff like that was not designed for black people or women.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, women couldn't vote, black men couldn't vote, you know, black women couldn't vote.
Yeah.
So it was not designed for us. So we need to use those Bill of Rights to get our rights back.
I mean, you know? First of all, we have a known racist president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And if this is so known and he still became the president, the system has failed. America's failed black people. At this point, it's not going to end well. I just feel like it's not going to end well, because knowing this generation, they're not going to put up with what used to, you know, happen. And obviously, we can see that all over the news on every
point. Yeah, all the riots and all the protests. It's not going to end well,
because the way we grew up, I mean, the way you guys, okay, let me say it like this. The way our grandmothers grew up, the way our mothers grew up, the way y'all grew up, the way we grew up, it's totally different. I feel like it's gotten more dramatic, because I feel like back then it was still like, you know, they were living under those laws that they used to have, and now we partially know what's going on, and nobody's going to deal with that. So they kind of, you know, pushed back on it. But I think now that people are actually waking up and noticing that there is racism and they're letting it be known, that's what's causing the problem of people actually knowing instead of just like looking over it.
Yeah, it's, you can't hide it anymore.
Yeah, so that's like where it's stemming from. Nobody wants to be considered as that, oh, you're that racist girl or you're that racist guy. That's where it's stemming from. You know, when they say like that Black Lives Matter is such a problem, it's because they don't want to identify, you know, oh, only Black Lives Matter, because that's not what it's stemming from. They not want to, you know, say, oh, Black Lives mean anything. They don't want to say that.
Mm-mm.
They don't want to say Black Lives Matter, because they really don't care about Black Lives. And I seen a post that was saying that if you're not racist, then it wouldn't make you uncomfortable.
the conversation when it makes you uncomfortable. And even, I'm going to go from a personal standpoint. I had a family member that is, you know, in relation with, you know, Caucasian. And the conversation did come up and it was kind of a bit of a dispute. And that's when you know that it hits hard and it hits, you know, from growing. When you grow up around certain stuff, little stuff that you think, oh, you're better than this, or, oh, I came from this, you know, I came from poverty, or you didn't. It's little stuff like that. I mean, I'm not against, like, biracial relationships, but I know that it could be an issue with, you know, race standpoint and their family standpoint. And I get it, and they probably striving their best to, like, hold on, but it's a conversation that has to be said. And it's not their fault. It's just the system. It's not their fault that they, you know, even the biracial relationships, or maybe you have biracial children, or however. I know it's a conversation that might be uncomfortable because at this point you're devoted to that person and you probably truly love that person, but it's not in your hands. People going to judge you regardless. Even people that are biracial, they, you know, may be considered not white, or they may consider not black, and they have to prove themselves all the time. That's not fair.
Well, you know, speaking from a personal experience, my brother, as you know, is biracial. My brother feels the need that he needs to prove himself.
Yeah.
And he feels the need to prove himself in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
He does not identify
as white. He does not identify
as white. Because as the old saying goes, one drop of black, you black, you know? Right. And so he does not identify as white. Everybody knows he's biracial. He looks biracial.
I feel like it's more stemmed about where you're raised in or what environment you're raised in, because that's where I get confused. Because I was around a lot of Caucasian people growing up, but also I was a little confused about racial standpoint back then, because all my friends was white. All I seen were white people, you know, going to school, hanging out, you know. And then when I go to, like, a black neighborhood or whatever, it's like I even felt myself act different because I knew where I was and I was more comfortable.
It's the standard to set, exactly, in a certain setting.
And to feel when you're around.
Well, my brother does not have those same set of standards. He's going to be himself. He does not care who he's around. And that's just him. He felt like the need, but he still feels the need to prove himself, his blackness, in front of black people, which he doesn't have to. He just needs to be himself at all times. But I love my brother to death, and he's growing into his own now. He's starting to learn himself. He's starting to learn that he does not have to prove anything to anybody for acceptance. So he's going to be one hell of a man once he comes off vacation.
And you know what? This is off topic, but I'm religious, as in faith. I have my faith in God. So I'm going to say that I feel like maybe we were all different colors for a reason. And maybe God wants us to realize that we're all people and we're not just all color. And if you can accept that, then are you truly, you know, God loves all people and we're supposed to be like God. So, you know, do you really have love?
Right.
And that's where I stand
on, out of, you know, his own image.
I don't feel no type of way towards, you know, a white person. I would treat them like I treat anyone else. But it's just like some people don't think that way. You know, some people didn't grow up the way we did. Or maybe like something happened to a family member where, you know, it was a white person involved that, you know, it happened with. So maybe they have some frustration there or vice versa. But right. I think that even, you know, as God forgave us, you know, whatever happens, but we're all a different color. And I feel like that's a lesson. That's the biggest lesson we're learning right now, is that even though we're all different colors, we all have to love each other. And if you can't do that, then are you really worthy? You know, it's just like little stuff like that I'd be thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah, he created us all in his image and all the colors in the rainbow. You can't learn to accept his children then.
But that's just man putting labels.
Yeah.
You know, that's a man-made thing that's saying, oh, this color means this. Or even, you know, I have a child by an African. I mean, black. I mean, like,
it's not no blacker than African, I feel like.
No, there's light skinned Africans too. So
I mean, no. I mean,
that's
like
being racist. Like
a culture.
Oh.
Not
yeah,
as a
came from the no, motherland.
His dad is light skinned. No, his dad is light skinned. It's not that he's like black, but it's like, you know, the culture is as African as you can get.
Yeah, come from the motherland.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, my personal experience, I've, you know, dated like African American guys, but for some reason I just can't get with it. But like as far as them, they don't even consider themselves as black. They say I'm not black, I'm African. You know, like it's even racist in the black community as far as Africans and African Americans. They don't want to be identified as anything else but African. And they are low key racist towards black people. They black, you know, these Negroes and stuff like that. They're it's just the same. So it's not even just, and even if you're Mexican, Indian, we're all kind of dark. They don't want to be identified as such African Americans.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, I don't call myself African American because I don't
have to be identified as American.
No, it's not that. It's just I'm a black person living in America because I've never been to Africa. I don't see any descendantry of anybody of my family coming from Africa. So I'm just a black person in America. So I'm black American, I guess. But I don't have any type of African blood, I don't think, in me. I have to have this skin color, but it's just I don't see in my lineage where one of my ancestors came from Africa on the slave boats. But that's because the slave records are, who knows? So I wouldn't be able to tell anyway.
Right. And if you can't tell, I mean, they talk a whole lot of smack about African Americans, but they're the main ones coming over here. So it's kind of like.
Well, we've gotten way off topic from being black mothers of black sons. So I'm just going to end this here because I done came outside and it's a motorcycle driving by.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be very loud, but thank you for coming and talking with me today.
No problem.
And until next time, have your cocktail and a great conversation.
All right.
Bye-bye.